know that you want to see me.
This segment is brought to you by Roughneck Scarves, the official soccer scarf supplier to the Seattle Sounders and all the MLS. They specialize in custom scarves for schools, clubs, and teams of all levels. Go visit them online at www.roughneckscarves.com. Welcome to Hammer Time. I'm your host, Brandon Anyert, as always. And just like every week, I've got a great show for all of you. I have Greg Young, the professor, joining me on the show just a little bit later. But before we get to that, your Hammers hosted their first ever doubleheader this weekend. The first game was between the Bellingham United Reserves, and they played West Sound FC from down in Bremerton. And that game ended in a 1-1 draw. The goal for Bellingham was by Gabriel Zaccagnini with an assist by Matt Sanchez. Some great, great stuff, and I know the fans, we already had tons of fans watching that game. So, I mean, you know, again, just more proof of how awesome the fan support is for Bellingham United FC. The second game was actually the second annual Charity Shield match for Bellingham United FC, and we faced off against our buddies from down in Kitsap, the Pumas. And there are some familiar faces back in the starting lineup for the Hammers this weekend since WWU finally cleared their players to play for United. You probably all remember Leo Cohen from last season. He started most of the matches in goal, and he was back, got the nod to play this game. Andrew Weishar, who I believe was second only to Kellen Brown in goals scored last year for Bellingham United, he also was in the lineup. And I know just from talking to a few of the fans, they were so happy to see those guys back. So welcome back, Andrew, and welcome back, Leo. The match, in my opinion, started out good for the Hammers. I thought that they got the better of the chances early on. They kept the pressure on Kitsap. Kitsap was good on the counter, though, and Leo Cohen did have to come up with some big saves. But things started to get shaky in the 30th minute. In fact, it was like deja vu from the home opener. If you guys all recall, Keith Ferris had an own goal in that game, and Joel Grossman also had an own goal to start off this game. So that would put us down 1-0 against the Pumas in the 30th minute, and it would remain 1-0 going into halftime. Halftime substitutions included Andrew Weishar in for Ty Hastings, and he let his presence be known very, very early. You could tell he badly wanted a goal. He was all over the net, but the Pumas' defense and their goalkeeper would have none of it. And the score remained 1-0 until the 55th minute when the Pumas would break through with another goal, putting us in a very, very tough spot. Then things kind of started to get ugly. I'll talk a little bit more in depth about it in a moment. But Joel Grossman was shown a red card by center ref Nathan Max at the 72nd minute for what he deemed a reckless challenge. The Pumas knew just what to do as our defense struggled to adjust, and they put home their third goal of the match, pretty much putting the final nail in the coffin for the Hammers with only 15 minutes remaining. Even though the game was certainly out of reach, the Hammers didn't give up. In fact, they threw everything they could at Kitsap's goalkeeper, Anthony Halterman, but he was just on fire. He made double saves, and then there was a glimmer of hope for the Hammers in the 86th minute to at least get a goal out of the game when a handball was called against the Pumas in the penalty area. Kellen Brown stepped up to take the penalty kick, and Anthony Halterman saved it. I mean, it wasn't even a miss by Brown. It was just a save by Anthony Halterman. It was incredible. I have not seen a goalkeeper play a game like that in a long time. Final score was 3-0, Kitsap Pumas, but it was for a great cause. Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Northwest Washington getting a portion of the proceeds from ticket sales at the match. So, when it all comes down to it, not a league game, is a friendly, doesn't count towards our season. We still have a great season going on right now, 3-1-0, three road wins, which is fantastic for the Hammers. And you know those home wins are coming. Nothing to worry about here, nothing to fear. As for the red card to Joel Grossman, you know, it's a friendly, and with all due respect to center ref Nathan Max, I think he made a very, very poor decision in a friendly game. You know, they're both guys were going for the ball, and to call red, send somebody off, that's a really poor, poor call. You know, again, I totally respect what the officials do. I'm not trying to call anybody out. But to show a red in a friendly, It was a really ridiculous call. I would hope he went home that night and thought, you know what, next time I'm not going to pull something like that. I just think it's unfortunate for the fans who came out to witness a friendly match to see one of their favorites from last year, like Joel Grossman, a guy who really is a stand-up player. He plays the game within the rules probably better than anyone I see out there play the game. And I guess you got to let it go, right? It's old news now, onward and upward. But, you know, if you do by any chance listen to this, Nathan Max, which I doubt you do, but if you do, take a little advice from me. I realize I'm not an official, but it's a friendly match. I know it's not in your job description to be quote-unquote friendly. I know you're also not the most popular people at the match, and people don't respect the fact always that you are there to stop chaos from ensuing. And, you know, I personally respect that. But, you know, the fans came to watch their favorite players, and nobody got hurt. And you sent Joel off. And we're a little sad that you sent Joel off. You don't want to be a Ricardo Salazar. You know, the MLS ref that all the Sounders hate. You don't want to be like that. So, you know, maybe next time, I don't know, bring some flowers. Give them to Joel's wife. You know, something like that. Just a thought, Mr. Nathan Max. Seemed like a nice enough guy when I met you. So, yeah, just, you know, giving you some things to ponder. I'm basically talking to the air because I know that none of the rest listen to this, but alright guys, well that was your recap for this past game. And now, how about that interview with Greg Young? And this interview is brought to you by Bellingham Bay Coffee Roasters, a local family-owned micro-roaster of fine coffees, available at the Bellingham Farmers Market, Hagen's, and many other local businesses. Don't forget to check out their Morning Header Blend, the official coffee of Bellingham United FC. Find them online at www.bellinghambaycoffee.com. All right, we're here at Civic Field after the Charity Shield match against Kitsap Pumas. And I'm actually here with one of last year's heroes, Greg Young. Greg, how you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
All right, well, you know, last year we remember you mostly for that cross you put in against Poco City, our arch rival last year. You put that in for Sean Connor, who ended up, that was a game-winning goal. Take us through that game, what it felt like. They were arch rivals, and what was that game like for you?
Well, to be perfectly honest, it was a very high tempo game. It was the return fixture, so we'd already played them away, and I think we lost to them away. But it was one of those games that was very physical. There was a lot of tackles flying, and this is the away game, and I think it pretty much carried over, and it was much of a muchness when we got the home game. Competitive would probably be the politically correct word. The unpolitically correct word would basically just be each other kicking each other off the park. That being said, we did manage to break out and play a little bit of football during the game, which was nice. And obviously in the last minute, being able to put that ball in for Sean to nod home. To be honest, he did the hard part. All I had to do was put the ball in. You could tell just the kind of the release of emotion, not just from the players, but from the bench and from the fans and from the people in the beer garden. And one of the things that I enjoyed doing after the game was looking at the photos that were on Facebook. It was like a sequence of photographs where you could see Sean approaching the ball at the back post, heading it in. You could see the change in reaction and the change of the faces and the emotion, the people in the beer garden and the way that they kind of ran out. So it was nice to see that, you know, we didn't get it on video, but to have that moment chronicled in the series of still photos, it was a nice touch. So, you know, obviously to contribute to that, you know, to contribute to the goal and contribute to a win, it was a nice day for me. I enjoyed it.
Well, definitely. I do remember you mentioned it being kind of a, you know, as you put it, politically correct. Chippy match. I think that, you know, up in Canada, I think there was a few red cards in that away game. And then back here, one of their players got a red card. That was a big to-do as well. great game. One of the most memorable games for Bellingham United, for sure. Now, where have you been since the season ended in late July last year? Where have you been since then, Greg?
I've actually been staying down with friends in Portland, doing some research with some friends, some colleagues from around the country. Essentially, just looking for work. You know, being the position that I'm in as an international or a non-US citizen makes that a little bit difficult. So the process has been slow, but one of the things I've been able to do during my time there is obviously keep up with not only the Bellingham United through the social media, which Twitter and Facebook, they do a great job of updating those during games and, you know, leading up to games and sort of updates as fixtures progress and as the season progress. And also the Rapids as well, following them online. And, you know, they had a great season, unfortunately didn't make it to the playoffs. I think they got beat in the final or the semi-final. But being able to follow those has been a huge plus.
Well, give us a little bit of a background on yourself. I know that you did one of the podcasts last year. This is my turn now, running the podcast. But give us a little background of your soccer history up here in the Northwest, as well as what you do. Well, you're from England, obviously, but what you do away from soccer.
To be honest, Bellingham United was my background in the Northwest. I when I first moved here, which would have been sort of July, August of 2011. Obviously I moved here not really knowing anyone, not knowing the scene, not knowing what was going on. So I got in touch with Lance Calloway through, I think it was just through a website for it was actually the Bellingham United website that was going to be in place for the upcoming season, even though they hadn't had trials or anything like that. And he mentioned that there was an indoor team, a semi-pro indoor team with a Rapid. So I'd never really played indoor, that style of indoor before. The indoor that we play in England is it's five-a-side, it's a very small pitch, very small goals, so the goals are probably about 4 foot high, but as wide as the goals are here in the US. And it's usually on I grew up playing on a hard maple floor, so it's a lot of short, sharp passing rather than kind of the physical short shift changes that happen with the league that the Rapids are in. So it was a little bit of an adjustment for me, but it was nice to get, you know, to get playing again and trying to get a little bit of fitness in and you know, building some relationships with the coaches and with the players and the team. And obviously that moved forward, and as we went to the tryouts with Bellingham United, obviously went along to those and enjoyed the process of going through and playing with other players from the local area, which culminated in playing for the team and culminated in me with, unfortunately, a lot of injury, which inhibited my ability to play with the team. But you know, being involved with the team as a player and as a quasi coach last season was I honestly miss it. I really did enjoy my time, and being up here today for the charity match, it's been a welcome return. I've really enjoyed myself.
Well, and speaking of that charity match, I know it's not the result we wanted, a 3-0 loss to Kitsap Pumas, but what have you seen in your time back here from this team in 2013? What are your feelings on them?
Well, I think that's a great question. One of the things that first of all strikes me is the consistency of the team, not necessarily in the way that they play, but the personnel. I think if you're gonna have a good strong team over a long period of time, you need consistency in the personnel that you have. Obviously, the coaching staff's returned. You know, Justin's taken over from Scott from last season, but you've still got Lance, and moreover, you've got Lance's coaching philosophy and the way that he envisions this team to play. And I think having players, or a lot of returning players from last year, and very strong players returning from last year, makes that sort of perpetuates the notion of what he wants to do, and the new players that come in are in a system that's already established. Today, obviously, the result's very disappointing. I don't think that it was, you know, I don't think that 3-0 was a particularly fair result. You know, there was obviously an own goal in there, and Joel sending off, which for me, perhaps being a little biased, was a yellow card at the very, very, very most. So, you know, I can tell Joel's disappointed with that. Not only, you know, an own goal, but also being sent off. But, you know, these things are out of your control sometimes. The ball that was played across that he ended up turning into his own net, you know, that's the ball that defenders hate. Goalkeepers hate it. It's whipped across with pace. It's at that awkward height, sort of, you know, stomach height where you can't really get anything on the ball. But as a defender, you're obliged to try and deal with it. And unfortunately, it's come off his knee, or it's come off the sole of his shoe, and he's turned it in. You know, that being said, I think that at times we played some very, very nice stuff, but never really got into that constant rhythm. When we did possess the ball, it seemed a little bit rushed at times. but when we did slow the game down or play the pace that we wanted to play, it looked very, very productive, particularly second half. I thought the wide play improved, which created a little bit of gap between centre-back and full-back, which allowed players like Quill and Sean to find channels for wide players to run in. And to be perfectly honest, the amount of chances that we had and the amount of great saves that were forced out of the goalkeeper, it could have been a very, very different game. Obviously, we had the penalty save, which was unfortunate. But I remember Quill having a header in the second half that the goalkeeper has pushed out the bottom corner. Very, very good. And a number of double saves and follow-up saves that the goalkeeper's had. On any other given day, he doesn't save those. And you come away 5-3 winners. So I think it was a little bit harsh today. But it's like anything. This game doesn't count towards anything for the season, so the guys can take it as a learning opportunity, move forward, look to correct what wasn't right today, and look to carry on with the positive things that come out from the day. And I'm sure Lance will have them in training this week and look to correct what needs to be corrected and look to reinforce what the team did well.
Well, and I definitely agree with you. I know we're both a little biased, obviously, but they had so many chances today, and there's some days that keepers are just on fire and they're unconscious, so to speak. And Kitsap's goalkeeper was just, it seemed like, yeah, he said the double chances. I mean, he was making the double saves. Incredible stuff from him. So, like you said, 5-3 could have been easily that way. It's worthy to note as well that Chris Jepson missing from the back line today. He couldn't make it to the game. Justin Diener went out early with a little bit of an injury. And definitely some big names missing from the lineup as well. But what do you look forward to now for yourself? I know that you mentioned probably heading back overseas. What's in store for you for the rest of 2013?
That's a very good question. I wish I had a definite answer for it. Professionally, obviously looking to pick up some employment with a university or perhaps a club or some sports-related arena at home. Football-wise, it's a good question. I'm carrying a bit of an ankle injury at the moment, so I'd like to get that seen too. I'm still on very good terms with the club that I left when I was in England. My dad is very involved with Newcastle Benfield, and it is something that I'd perhaps like to get involved with if I manage to clear up some injuries. Luckily, we have a break. There's no football played in June in England. I think it's because the referees refuse to referee in June. They say it is their one month off a year because the season's so long. So I think pre-season they'd be getting back into swing in July. And even if I just do a pre-season with the club to try and get some fitness and assess the level that I'm at, see how things go from there. But I do miss the game. Whether that's as a player or as someone involved in a coaching setup, perhaps as a dual role somewhere, that would be something that I'd like. I do think I've still got something to offer the game. I've always said that I'd retire, for want of a better word, when I've got nothing to offer or when I don't feel like I'm contributing. So I still think as a player I've got a little bit to contribute, and I'd like to hope that as a coach or as a manager in the future that I've still got a little bit of longevity in the game.
Like I said, I think you have a lot to contribute still. You, if anything, which is, you got a lot, but you've also got height. And so that's always a good thing in the game. Well, thank you so much, Greg. It's great to have you back here in Bellingham. I'm glad you could make it out to a game today. And good luck with all you have in store for you.
Thanks very much. I'd obviously like to thank the club for inviting me back up, and for Ron for working out the logistics stuff. And I'd like to say that I brought the nice weather with me, because I looked at the forecast before I came up and we were due rain today. So you can thank me for the sun. So thanks very much for the opportunity to come back.
Thank you so much again.
You gotta love that guy. I feel like he's like the Alan Hinton of the podcast this week. I wish he could stay here and just be on the podcast every week. I don't have the budget to pay him, but he'd be a great addition. Such a great soccer mind. We call him the professor. For those of you who don't know, he actually is a professor. In fact, he taught at Western Washington University. That's why he was over here and became part of Bellingham United FC. So yes, thank you very much, Professor. We hope to see you back here next season for a visit. And you're always welcome here in the beautiful Northwest. So yeah, definitely hope to see you again. We received word from the MLS this morning. There is a brand new team entering the league. Whoa, you know what that means? That is 24-hour Ted breaking news. How do I turn the sound effect off? Oh, here we go. All right, so yes, this is 24-hour Ted breaking news. And it has been, now we have Ted quoted as saying he will be on the podcast, guys, this is huge, in 2022. And actually, there's more to it. It's only if Bellingham United beat the Seattle Sounders in U.S. Open Cup play in 2022. But it's something. We're getting somewhere. It's a start. We might actually have Ted on the show. I will be, let's see, in 2022, I'm going to be 18. Y'all know that's a lie. Anyway, you know, I actually talked to Ted this weekend, and he said, why do you want me to be on the podcast? And I said, because, Ted, that's what the fans want. I said, they want to hear from the vice president. They want to hear from the guy who plays soccer himself. You know, I actually caught him playing some drop-in soccer, something like that. He calls it ghetto soccer. Boy, scored a goal right in front of me. I'm not sure if there's a keeper in net, but regardless, you know, he's got a thumping kick. You know, people want to hear from him, and I told him, he goes, no, they don't want to hear from me. I'm terrible on the radio. And I said, maybe you are, but that's what people want to hear. People don't just want to hear great people on the radio. I mean, they don't put outtakes on a DVD for no reason, right? Maybe he's right, though. Maybe he'd be boring on the show. I don't see how, because he has the moniker 24-hour Ted. He's got to live up to that, right? You know, and he does a great job. I want to say that. Whenever I get to the match, before the match, he's setting stuff up. He's putting up signs. He's a hard worker. You know, the people want what the people want, Ted. But 2022, breaking news, he's going to be on the show as long as the Bellingham United beat the Sounders in the Open Cup. So stay tuned, everybody. You have a little ways to wait, but mark your calendars. I don't know if my iPhone goes all the way to 2022. Should I check? No, I probably shouldn't. There you go. Waste some space, Bram. This may come as a shock to all of you, but that was brought to you by TNT Signs and Promotional Products on 1794 La Bounty Drive in Ferndale, Washington. Definitely go. Yeah, you need some promotional products made up. You need some signs made up. That's the place to go. I've been in there. I've seen Ted and his workers at work. That was a little bit redundant. And they do a great job. Whenever you see the signs at the matches, you know who did it. It's TNT, Signs and Promotional Products. They do great work, so whenever you need your promotional products made and your signs made, or you just want to go in there and chat with Ted, you know where to go. TNT Signs and Promotional Products. And now for a preview to this Sunday's game against the Vancouver Thunderbirds. If any of you forget last season's home game against the Thunderbirds, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're insane. They were undefeated until they came to Civic Field. Yeah, but we weren't going to let that happen. We weren't going to let a team go undefeated. Are you crazy? The Hammers beat them 1-0 to stop their reign as the only undefeated team in the PCSL last year. That's what we love to do here. We love to, you know, make history and, you know, shock teams and all that great, great stuff. Looking towards this game, you know, as Stephen A. Smith would say from ESPN, Vancouver Thunderbirds have some big boys. Kerman Cooner, 6'3", from Trail BC. He's a midfielder. And we got Steve Johnson, a defender, 6'2". We got another defender at 6'2", Jacob Quayle. Big, big guys. Big boys. So that's going to be the main struggle. You know, our guy's not quite that big. But I have faith in Bellingham United. You know, last season, that game was major. It was huge. And I believe we can do it again. You know, we're going to get back on track. That both of these last games, totally unfair results. The Estrella game, totally dominated that game. The Kitsap game, like I said, that keeper was on fire. We should have had at least two or three goals. So at the worst, it's a 3-2 loss, not a 3-0 loss. I really believe that this weekend, the Hammers will be playing very, very well against the Vancouver Thunderbirds. And you need to show up for it. I know this Ski to See weekend, it's Memorial Day weekend, and everybody's got plans, but you need to add this game to the plans. Why? Because we need you there to support the boys in black and white. And it's always a great time. They're great for families. If you're single, there's a beer garden. And, you know, some of the most attractive people in Bellingham in that beer garden. You know, and not to say there aren't couples there as well, but if you are single and you're ready to mingle, as they like to say, go check out the Copper Hog Beer Garden. And, you know, maybe you'll find your future wife or husband. Or live-in girlfriend, live-in boyfriend. Not everybody has to get married. But this show is not about, you know, relationships, so. I'm just putting it out there. But yeah, even if you've already made plans, make sure you add Bellingham United FC and the Vancouver Thunderbirds to those plans. Kickoff is at 3 p.m., as always, on Sunday. And there's a march to the match at 1. Got to be a part of that, at least from Poppies. Comes down Lakeway to Civic Field. It's fun. That is so much fun. You get to cheer and chant and clap, and you get to march right there with Hooligan Ron and all the other great fans. So definitely be there for that. And we want to fill those seats. I know the 1,800 is still like 1,799 more people than most of the other PCSL teams get at their games. I'm just kidding, obviously. I know you guys get at least 5 people. But we want to fill it up more. 1,800 just isn't enough. We want 2,000, 2,200, 25. I don't know how much Civic holds. I could look it up, but then I'd be wasting more time on here. I know I should have these things ready, but, you know, it just came to me all of a sudden. But, yeah, we want to fill Civic Field up. So tell your friends, tell everybody to come on down for some great, great soccer. Or as they say over in Europe, football. You got to come down for it on May 26th. I hope to see you there. All right, guys. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back again next week with some more interviews, some more insight, some more previews, some more recaps. Remember to tell your friends and family and your frenemies, all those people, I don't care, like, shout it from the rooftops, shout it from the streets, say, go listen to Hammer Time, Hammer Time Soccer. You can find it at hammertimesoccer.podomatic.com, or you can do what the rest of the cool kids do, which is go to iTunes and subscribe to it. That's the most awesome thing, because I have an iPhone and I subscribe to it because I just can't get enough of listening to myself. And it, boom, it just shows up, like magically appears. Like there's a magician inside my phone. It's like, boom, hey, there's a new podcast. So if you go to iTunes and you find Hammer Time Soccer, I think you can even do it off of the Podomatic page. Subscribe to it on your iPhone. And I promise you, you'll always be up to date and everything hammers. So go and do that. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you want to reach me, by the way, Brandon@BellinghamUnited.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Brandon_E. And let me know what you think. Let me know what you want me to talk about. You can tell me to shut up. No, don't tell me to shut up. That'll hurt my feelings. So, you know, if you do want me to shut up, you know, use the thumper theory. And, you know, don't say anything at all. But yeah, if you have anything else to say, you know where to get a hold of me, Brandon@BellinghamUnited.com. You can send me an email, or you can, like I said, on Twitter, Brandon_E. Thanks, guys. See you next week. Might be.
listen to all the old sunshine. We own the night. We own the night. So hold on to all your hopes until sunrise. Sunrise.